Living, loving, fighting and telling stories in between the guilt of survival. It's 3 a.m., and I'm standing in the crisp, still air of Cape Town autumn. I've been in this beautiful apartment for 9 years now. That is the most I have stayed in one place since I left Bulawayo, Zimbabwe, my place of birth. There, I left a whirlwind of controversy as I was given 7 days to pack up my life and leave in order to evade arrest. It is a bit of a story, so let me backtrack to a period in my unforgotten past. It is the 8th of May, 2008. I have just walked through the door and begin to tiptoe through the house so I don't wake my mother up. She has been very worried about my late nights with my German, Australian, and Japanese friends throughout the suburbs of Kumalo and Hillside. It is the height of pre-election violence in Zimbabwe. Only a few days ago, militia kicked a young man in the chest until he was coughing up globules of blood. His crime? Not carrying a form of positive identification or a card that shows which political party he follows. Yes, I was there. I was with my friend Clyde on George Solundica Avenue, near Glenn's Removals, when the young man skidded past us and fell onto the tarmac about 2 meters from where we stood talking. Not a moment later, there was a thundering army of boots and booming voices shouting violently as they descended on the unarmed, helpless young man. I dare not tell you the state he was in when they lifted his near-dead body and took it round the corner into the shadows, away from the streetlights. As we were trying to take all this in, the guy in charge, not more than 25 years old, walked straight to me as though he would smooch me, and asked me for ID. I groped the back pocket of my Levi's and felt my passport there. I sighed, handed it over to him for scowling scrutiny. They did the same with Clyde. We were both safe. He told us to run home and not look back. We did just that. Then a few days later, I am tiptoeing through my mother's kitchen. I have just locked the door behind me and am about to get into bed when the phone rings. It is the loudest damn phone I've ever heard. I rush to it and pick it up by the third ring. "Hello," says a raspy, tobacco-beaten voice on the other end of the line. "Is that Frank?" I pause, squint my eyes a little, and hold my breath, as if that will help me recognize this unfamiliar voice. Yes, it is. I'm not sure if this is one of my friends playing a prank or a genuine call, so I listen. "We know who you are and what you've been doing." "Who is this?" The concern in my voice cannot mask the fear that is sprinting up and down my spine. "We are your friends that are trying not to hurt you unless you give us reason to. We know about your interview. We are giving you a grace period of 7 days to leave this country before we come to get you or burn your house down with you in it." It was the police. They had found footage from an interview I had given to a French TV channel where I openly stated my sexual orientation and thoughts on where I felt the country was going under Robert Mugabe's rule. The filmmakers had been caught and the footage confiscated and watched. I was an easy target, seeing I was a lead actor in a Zimbabwean TV series at the time. I had to make a wise decision that would not endanger my loved ones, so I left. It took 10 heavy days to apply for a South African visa, book a flight, and get out. I left the country unscathed. The fact remains that threats and intimidation were used to make me feel like a lesser human being, and that my life meant little. And also, I was terrified enough of what might happen to me behind closed doors as an out gay man in a country that does not to this day recognize gay people as human and continues to deny equal rights to LGBTQIA plus citizens. So now, I speak for those who might never be afforded the space and time to utter a word that might make them accepted in society. Not just in Zimbabwe, but all over our beautiful continent and beyond. Where am I now? This voice in which I speak has been developed over a long period by interrogating my purpose in this space and time. I've been asking myself what it is that I will leave as my legacy. What keeps resoundingly coming back to me is the power and gift of storytelling that was bestowed on me through ancestry. I come from a line of healers, storytellers, rainmakers, and seers. I carry all of these giftings in me by virtue of genetic memory and the deep giftings of oral history that have been among my people for generations. The gift of storytelling and understanding of the power of words are some of the things that have saved me from a lot of the pain that comes with never finding acceptance among those of the land of your ancestors. I certainly know that I have this gifting, and I am pegged to use it for the protection, growth, and redemption of others. My work as a storyteller has been instrumental in giving LGBTQIA plus souls on the African continent and beyond a face and a voice. My work comes in the form of an installation theater piece that centers on what it means to grow up in a homophobic society in Africa. The work is channeled through tapping into the spiritual world of my ancestors, who were the original storytellers who told stories at a time when it was not even seen as an art form, but a way of life, as mundane and as essential as breathing. I do not work from a conventional written script, but I invite those whom I carry from my ancestry to come into the room to guide the stories that need to be told. This work is called Stories of My Bones and has so far been performed on 2 continents, 3 countries. What saddens me about all of this beautiful awakening is the heavy, volatile homophobia that African governments have adopted from colonial, archaic, racist, anti-gay penal laws. These have been heavily endorsed by fundamentalist American Christian churches that are partnering with African churches and preying on the poverty of some of these governments to control what they get enraged by. In all of this, LGBTQIA plus citizens suffer and face violence, even death. I live in South Africa and Norway now, where laws affirm LGBTQIA plus people. This is beautiful on one hand, but also sears me with a heavy sense of survivor's guilt. I am learning to limp through my work as a spiritually gifted artivist and trying to find balance in all of it. I see it as living in the best and worst of times in equal share. I hope that a time is coming soon when we all will be able to live in ways that are valued by all spheres of society, government, nation, and continent. Peace be our journey.